Welcome to Vertical Families. Blake's over there telling me it's time to get going again.
Neither one of us was paying attention, were we?
I was thinking about this coffee I have right now. So I did a pour over coffee this morning and it's tasting really good. So
maybe it'll keep you awake for a couple episodes.
Well, when you're talking to your mother-in-law, you tend, never mind.
Oh, okay, just move on.
So today we're talking about seven biblical grandparents and what we can learn from them. Now, a couple things before we jump in. One, I just glanced through these stories. I haven't thought about some of these stories in a while in the Bible. So I try to read the Bible through every year, but some of these I've never thought about from a grandparenting perspective.
Well, that was the thing. When I first looked at that, I thought, they really don't talk a whole lot about grandparents in the Bible. I'm not sure I can find material for this. But many of the heroes of the faith, many of the stories we're familiar with, if we think about it, they did become grandparents during their lifetime. And when we look at them from that perspective, I think we can learn a lot from some of them.
Yeah, like I know the first one we're going to look at, so this could be like a trivia question, right?
Okay.
which you know, because you wrote it down, who's the great-grandfather of Noah?
The great-grandfather of Noah would be Enoch.
I wouldn't have got that, other than since we're getting ready to talk about it, I looked it up.
But yeah, and we hear a lot about Enoch. I mean, the main thing most people remember is that he didn't die.
Right.
And so when we think of Enoch, that's what we think of.
Yeah, but he did that, walked with God.
He walked with God. But we don't stop and think, hey, he was somebody's grandfather.
Yeah. So before we jump into this, because we have, not everyone listens to the podcast is grandparents. So why do you think this is an important topic for everyone to dive into?
I think it's important. I think our culture, our society, whatever, over the years, the family unit has just kind of been torn apart.
Yeah.
Segregated out. And so even today when we talk about the family, we generally think of parents and children. Mm-hmm. But in the Bible, God went beyond that. It was generations pouring into and discipling each other. And I'm aware of a lot of churches and places that are now starting to understand the importance that the Bible does tell us how to grandparent.
Yeah.
And it tells how the grandparents fit in. But if we only talk to grandparents, then the parents and the grandchildren don't understand the dynamic.
Yeah.
I think we all have to be where grandparents should be listening to things on parenting, even though their parenting years are over.
Yeah.
How are they going to come alongside their adult children who are parenting if they don't understand the responsibility and the
right
dynamics?
We talked in the last episode about technology with parenting. That's important for grandparents to understand that their children are maybe struggling through some things trying to parent their grandchildren through technology.
And, right? And it is. And you know that out of our three children, two don't live locally.
Right.
And so I don't see the grandchildren on a daily basis. And so one of the things I do just as a habit is ask the parents, if the kids are coming to stay with me, like, are you still having a struggle with this? Are you still working on this? What do I need to do to help support you? Even that digital thing. Like, I know none of my children allow the grandchildren to have phones in the bedroom.
Yeah.
So at my house, there's no phones
right
in the bedroom. Like, be consistent.
Yeah.
And help them out.
Yeah. I like how you started. You have the introduction here as heroes. So let me ask you a question. We're going to jump into material.
Okay.
So have you ever met like a famous someone that's your hero or?
Well, people will think this is really weird because it's not like an actor or a sports person.
Yeah.
But you know, I spend a lot of time like being certified life coach, hanging out with coaches and counselors.
Right.
That's my job. And this one lady I really admired and studied, read her book, studied her. I was in an elevator with her and she spoke to me and we had conversation.
So you met your hero.
So it's like the nerdy hero story. What about you?
Well, mine's not quite that deep. So it was, I think it was February 5th, 1988.
Oh, but you remember it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember. I think it was the 5th. It was a Friday night in February in 1988. We had recently moved to Indianapolis. And Indianapolis is going to host the WWF main event. This is wrestling.
Yes, I'm aware.
Okay.
My grandmother was.
All right.
Yes.
So it was going to be the first time that the main event, it was the first main event, and it was going to be televised on national television. And it was actually going to turn out to be the largest number of people that's ever watched it on television. So we went to the Market Square Arena in Indianapolis. It's no longer there. So we went there to watch. And the main match that night was Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan. Have you heard of those guys?
Both of them. Right. Yes, yes.
So Andre the Giant, I think he's like 7'5".
He was in Princess Bride, too.
Well, I've never seen that.
Oh, you should. No.
I don't know about that. 7'5", 500 and some pounds, but he was my hero, right? And so he was going to beat up Hulk Hogan that night. Well, my dad, He had this thing. He's the most impatient man I've ever met.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So you knew him right before he passed. So he didn't think we should wait in line at the front of Market Square Arena, that maybe we could just sneak in a back door. Now, we had tickets. So we walked up this car ramp. As we're getting ready to walk in the door to this back of Market Square Arena, trying to get in, this Cadillac pulls up. And he goes, hey, wait out here. So we sat there. And we waited. It pulled up. And out of that Cadillac got Andre the Giant. I thought I was going to die. Like, actually, I thought I was going to... Yeah, I don't want to say what I thought I was going to do. I was so scared because I knew him as the wrestler, and he's always in character, and I was 7 years old. He gets out of the car, and my dad didn't know a stranger, so he just walks up and starts talking to him. And my dad wasn't a small man. Like, he was a little over 6 foot and had decent-sized hands. And I remember Andre the Giant shook his hand, and I thought, his hand just wraps all the way around his. And so then I went up and gave him a hug and got to talk to him a little bit. So that's when I met my hero.
So yeah. You actually got to meet him.
Yeah,
that's
met him.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, there was no cameras or anything to prove it, but that memory, I mean, obviously, I'm telling you month and year.
You've got the date and everything.
I do.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so anyways, where we go? Oh, heroes. Talking about grandparents as heroes, right? So,
well, we could look at it that way. But but my twist was, you know, I was asked, what can you learn from grandparents in the Bible? I'm going, what grandparents are in the Bible other than Lois? She was the only one that came to my mind.
Yeah.
So then I had to take a different approach. I think most of the heroes that we tell the flannel graph stories about, and they were grandparents.
Yeah.
And we can learn a lot from their lives.
Yeah. So let's do it. We're just going to...
So Enoch.
You're going to name it, walk through him. Okay.
We've already referred to Enoch, yeah, who was the great-grandfather of Noah. Mm-hmm. And walked with the Lord, and you might think, well, as a grandparent, what can we learn from him?
Yeah.
Well, I think you already said it. As soon as we said his name, you said he's the one that walked with the Lord.
Yeah.
As grandparents, we can learn that needs to be our priority. We got to make it a focus to not just drift through our days and do what's fun or relaxing, but to think about what God's called us to do and how we need to carry that out.
How do you think your grandkids know you walk with God?
I think they have to see it in your life. I don't think you can just say,
yeah,
I walk with God or I do this. But I think they see it in, if they're visiting, if they're at your house or you're at their house, they see you reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. They see you praying, or you invite them in to pray. Going to church with them. It's easy, especially if you have long-distance grandkids. Mm-hmm. When you actually get to see them, you don't want to take time away from it. And you think, oh, we're just going to spend time together, but they need to go to church with you. They need to see you in church. Just conversations and serving together. We already talked on an episode about Logan coming and spending a couple days with us.
Yeah.
And he and Don went and served a couple of times together just so he could see that that's a priority.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. So
who's the next grandparent you have?
Let's move along. How about Abraham? What do you think of when you hear Abraham's name?
I think of him with his son. He was obedient to God, right? Went on his journey.
I know. Yeah. That the whole obedience thing, I think is pops up. He left as soon as he was called without knowing where he was going.
Right. When I was trying to think of him as a grandfather, I mean, obviously an entire generation after generation could be traced back to him, but
that's true. Yeah. And we think about his obedience and taking Isaac, following the Lord, taking Isaac up on the mountain.
Jacob would be... Am I getting that right? Jacob would be Isaac's son.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I used to have that line down, but I haven't looked at it in a while. I'm like, now I'm going to stop and question myself. As a grandparent, that we don't hear details of him being a grandparent in the Bible, but just the things we've mentioned. We've talked about his obedience, his trust. He absolutely trusted God to be able to obey without question. And I think that's an important lesson for grandparents, not only knowing God, but having that confident belief and trust when he asks us to do something, or that trust with our grandchild when we think they're not making the wisest decision.
Yeah. Well, I think that's important for a grandchild to see when they sit down and talk with a grandparent, as they share their story of their life, how that, hey, I've just trusted God and he's come through time after time again.
And give example.
Yeah.
I think it's a good practice for grandparents to sit down and write out, as they look back over their lives, some of the times they knew God showed up, and write it out. And that way, when the grandkids are there, and you don't sit down and preach it to them or read the paper to them, but if you have that committed to your mind, you've already worked it out in your head, there'll be time when conversation comes up and you can talk about that specific time, and then they can see it in your life. It's not just, words, trust God.
Yeah, I have one grandpa, one grandparent still living. It's my grandpa.
Yes.
And he loves to tell stories, and he's a believer. And I just love riding in a truck with him, visiting graveyards. He likes mm-hmm. going and walking around and seeing them. And he just tells story after story. But what's interesting, he doesn't do it on purpose. He's just walked with God so long that the stories just talk about God's faithfulness throughout his life. And so I can read scripture, and I love doing that, that God's word. But there's just something special about hearing him talk about these stories and how God's moved. And he's not even trying to make it a spiritual exactly. lesson for me. It's like, this is just how I live my life.
It's his life. He's yeah. telling you his life story. And I think some grandparents are, I'll say scared. That's not mm-hmm. the best word. They don't think they have a story to tell.
Right.
Because it's not this big, grand, I was saved from this
yeah.
terrible fate, or there's no famous people, there's no Andre the Giant mm-hmm. or in their family line, and they're just thinking, well, my story's not that impressive, I don't have anything to tell. But yeah. oh, those little stories, just evidence from your grandpa, just those little daily stories of God showing up and being there throughout life, that's what they need to hear.
Yeah, I'm sure Abraham had some great stories to tell, right?
Can you imagine some of the stories around the fire?
Right.
yeah. And we talked about Abraham being Isaac's grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
You go on down the line, it's inevitable. Isaac's going to be a grandpa.
He is, yep.
Years later, but he gets there.
Yeah, they would have, so Isaac's sons would have been Esau and Jacob.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Because
I keep thinking I'm wrong because you delay.
I have to have a second to go back and.
You bring the intelligence to this conversation. I'll bring the humor.
That's really scary. No, I like that you bring the humor, but.
Hey, can you let Karen know that I'm funny, your daughter? Because I tell her all the time.
She does think she's the funny one, doesn't she?
She does, and it's not true. Like, she's the best at everything in our marriage except the humor. And I tell her all the time that's what I bring.
Well, you certainly bring it here.
Okay. All right. So there's Isaac and Rebecca had Jacob
and Esau. So most of us remember the story of Jacob and Esau, mm-hmm. the whole stolen birthright
right
deception. So one of the lessons that we can learn from Isaac and his wife, Rebecca, is a what not to do for grandparents. Don't choose favorites.
Yeah.
Never a good idea. They very clearly had their favorite sons. And it led to all kinds of problems.
Yeah. Let me ask, can I ask some hard questions on this?
No, I know what you're going to ask.
No,
I'm not going to answer.
No, I'm not going to ask who your favorite son-in-law or grandchild is. I think from the outside, not talking about you or Don, but I think there's a lot of grandparents who sometimes do favor one grandchild.
They do.
And it's obvious. Is that something?
It's very dangerous.
Okay.
I know no one believes it. I truly have no favorite child.
Mm-hmm.
Or no favorite grandchild,
right.
because it's disastrous for one reason. You can show, I think grandparents think they have to find these ways to show the grandchild that they're special.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that without picking a favorite.
Yeah.
I can say to one of my grandchildren, you're my favorite 7-year-old girl.
Right.
Or you're my favorite teenage son mm-hmm. or boy or whatever it is, where I'm qualifying it. So I'm not picking out, like, you're my favorite of all the grandkids.
Right.
Because look at what happened when you clearly let them know one's a favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a dangerous slope, but I don't think like a grandparent says intentionally, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick this person. I think it's maybe there's have better chemistry
I think it's chemistry. I think it's circumstance. I see, mm-hmm. think sometimes maybe a baby almost didn't make being born. Mm-hmm. And now the grandparent is just grateful that this baby's alive.
Right.
And so they show partiality to mm-hmm. this one. There's the whole chemistry or history thing. Maybe you've shared an event with a grandchild you didn't share with the other however many you have.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes them special to you. And there's this bond in your heart. But I think it's still very important to guard against having a favorite, and especially letting others know you have
yeah.
a favorite.
I've already told my daughters, if they have a son, they name him Richard Thomas IV, that's going to be my favorite grandchild. So
really?
Yeah, because I'm Richard Thomas III.
I know you are, but you don't like to be called Richard Thomas, so I thought that might...
No, I don't, but I don't care if it's someone else.
Okay. Now I'm starting to understand a little bit.
All right, who's the next one yet?
But I think with Isaac, we don't want to leave him on a sour note.
Right.
Like he's the what not to do, mm-hmm. don't have a favorite. I think there is something very valuable grandparents can learn from Isaac, and that is his faithfulness to Rebecca. This was a culture where most men had multiple wives.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of rough roads and bad times in That's their true. Marriage, and he stuck with her.
He did.
Through the whole journey.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really, you know, you may not say, well, that's not a grandparenting thing, that's a marriage thing, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
You're modeling healthy, godly marriage for those grandkids. So I think it's a huge thing that we can learn.
Yeah. I mean, for a grandchild to see grandma and grandpa who, in an ideal situation, right, been married 40 plus mm-hmm. years, and to see, especially in this culture today, someone that's stayed faithful during that time, you know there's been some bumps during that time, mm-hmm. and yet they stuck it out. And...
Yeah. It's, people notice. And I think especially your grandkids. And as you said, there's so many bad examples,
mm-hmm.
so many marriage gone wrong, that's mostly what our grandkids are seeing.
Yeah.
Most of their friends don't come from a home where parents are even together, mm-hmm. let alone grandparents. And so to model that for your grandkids is just so important right now.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're going on down the family line.
We are.
We had Abraham. We had Isaac. Now we've got Jacob. What do you think we can learn from Jacob?
I'm trying to think. Jacob's son, Joseph. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. What did you have on this as a grandparent?
Well, as I've looked back at the ones we've talked about already, the things they're known for
mm-hmm.
as heroes in the Bible are the thing the grandparent can learn from. The obedience, the trust,
mm-hmm.
the walking faithfully, the marriage, the not choosing favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same with Jacob, and there's a lot of things in his life, but at the very end, once he's reunited with Joseph and mm-hmm. he's meeting these grandsons he's never known before, the thing he does before he dies is bless them.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important thing for grandparents. We've lost that biblical art, that thing called blessing. Most of us grow up now and we just know it as something that was done in the mm-hmm. Bible.
Have we talked about that on here before?
We have not.
We should do an episode on that sometime.
Okay. I'll try to add that on our list.
Put that on the list, an episode on blessing.
But even, you know, he gave them this formal spoken blessing,
mm-hmm.
which I think grandparents should be doing. But that also brings up the whole, you know, are you speaking words of affirmation? Are you letting them know you see Christ-likeness in them? Mm-hmm. And we're going to do a whole episode on this later this season. Are you speaking encouraging words? These are always to bless your grandchildren.
Yeah.
Are you intentionally seeking to pour out blessing upon their lives?
Yeah. Who do you got next?
Well, we're going to leave that line, sort of, and go to Boaz and Ruth.
All right.
Who were the grandparents of?
David would be in there.
David is in there.
Would he be a great grandchild?
He is the great. They are the grandparents of Jesse.
Yep.
Who was David's father. So great grandparents of David.
Yeah. So they had a big impact.
So history on Ruth and Boaz, we know she was a Moabite, mm-hmm. followed her mother-in-law to a land she knew nothing about, eventually married Boaz.
Mm-hmm.
These two have a lot to teach grandparents. One is the importance of sharing our story, and we've already talked at length about that one. They had to hear each other's stories
mm-hmm.
to come to know each other. They were from totally different cultures, belief systems. They teach us to trust God with our grandchildren. They had their son, gave him over to Naomi to mm-hmm. raise.
Yep.
A lot of things going on in their family line and in the time of history at that time. And so they just had to trust God with their grandchildren. And then this one I love, and we've talked about this in different episodes, about grandparents feeling like they failed
mm-hmm.
in the past and kind of getting stuck there and wallowing in it instead of moving on. And they show us that God loves to make beautiful things out of messes.
Yeah.
If you look at the history of her life.
Yeah, when you think about Ruth, so she gets married, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go to a foreign land because of a drought. When they get to this foreign land, her husband dies. Then her sister-in-law husband dies. And she's left with Naomi, right? That's mm-hmm. her mom. And Naomi's like, I'm not going to have any other sons for you to marry. And so in that day, to be a widow is pretty well meant death. She's like, there's nothing good for you here. So go back to your land and remarry and live your life. And so the sister-in-law goes, and then Ruth's like, no, I'm gonna stay right here. And so there's that verse, like you see it on things at Hobby Lobby all the time, right?
That wedding verse.
Or weddings, like where you go, I'll go, and where you stay, I'll stay. And like, and I get that could apply to marriage, but really what you see is that's a daughter-in-law
that's a daughter-in-law with a
that loves her mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would do the same. I wouldn't
leave you. I'm sure you would.
But then, yeah, how God in his sovereignty just works through that story.
Yeah, because they go back and they have nothing.
Nothing at all.
And,
yeah.
And she's a foreigner in this land.
Yeah.
And so she's come through some really hard times. Not that she made the mess or did anything mm-hmm. wrong, but it was a mess.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the beautiful things that grandparents can learn from this. We all have regrets and sorrows, but if we trust God and we turn it over to him, he has the capacity to make beautiful things out of it.
Yeah, and I think that's something grandparents can do well, is that sometimes as grandchildren, you look at your grandparents like they have it all together. Life's always been easy for them. Yeah. I just go by their house, they give me a Werther, and everything's just great, right? Yeah. And so, that's an old person candy I found out this week. So I have them in my office. Did you want one? But someone told me.
It's an old person candy.
But you go by their house, you just have this like, this is what grandparenting's like. But then for the grandparents, like, no, let me tell you about my life. Right?
Exactly. So, which we already kind of talked about. And there's that story again. Yeah. It all weaves so beautifully into raising them. We've got a couple left. What about Hannah? We think about her as a mom, right? Mm-hmm. Longed for that child for years and years.
Yeah, they're in 1 Samuel. Yep.
And then gave him right back to the Lord when he was born. Mm-hmm. I think there's a couple important things that Grandma Hannah can teach us.
Okay.
Using our waiting. Mm-hmm. Grandparents spend some time waiting for that adult child to make a right choice, for the grandchild who's gone wayward to come back or to grow in a particular area.
Yeah.
And I think we can learn from Hannah that God uses that waiting to grow us, maybe to prepare some other people for things that are going on.
Yeah.
And I think she teaches us perseverance.
Perseverance, yeah.
Like, hang in there. Don't. You ask for it for a day or two and then go off and forget, you know, he hasn't answered me, but hang in there.
Yeah. And then praying, right? I mean, that was the thing that came to my mind first when I thought of her, is that she prayed.
Constant in prayer.
Yeah.
Okay. We're down to our last one.
Okay.
We're going to jump to the New Testament.
Okay.
How about Lois?
Lois.
She's the only one, I think, that's actually referred to as a grandparent in that relationship when Paul talks to Timothy about your grandmother, Lois.
Yeah.
And there's a lot she can teach us. My favorite, and we talked about this, I think at the beginning, when you ask about why would parents want to listen to something on grandparenting, Lois had a generational mindset.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't just bring up her child and then say, my work is done,
and
go off and knit booties or whatever. Right. But she poured into Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
So she got it. She got God's plan that we're all to be working together.
Yeah.
To disciple the generations.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about, like, if you're the one that Paul's given credit for discipling Timothy, you did something right.
Yes, And that, you know, right along that vein, it's our job as grandparents. Our work isn't done.
Mm-hmm.
We are called to disciple our children, our grandchildren,
younger
generations, and to have that faithful resolve to pass the heritage and to disciple.
Yeah, and it goes so when I was hearing like grandparenting, I think this doesn't pertain to me, but life goes so quick.
You'll be one before you know.
Right. So I still think of myself as like having little kids. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, I'm a lot closer to probably having grandkids than having little kids myself.
And that's the funny thing about life, because often I still think of myself as a parent with young kids.
Yeah.
You all grow up and we don't.
Yeah. Well, some of your kids act like young kids sometimes.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's...
But I think if we look at it, those generations weave, and we can all pay close attention and see that there are things in the Bible that God very specifically puts there for us to learn, to use in our role as grandparents as we get to that point. And we did not talk about Hezekiah's grandfather, but I love what it said of him in 2 Kings. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And I think that should be our heart, whether we're grandparents or parents, whatever role, generation we are, that we're being models of God's love and grace to others, particularly our family members.
Yep. Yeah, your work's not done, right?
Exactly.
Once you have grandkids. So.
The job is never through.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been, I've enjoyed this episode. This
good.
I've never looked at most of these men and women from grandparent perspective, so it's good.
There you go.
right.
The word is always full of new things from new angles, isn't it?
Yeah. Anything else before we go? I know you're a big part of like some grandparenting circles, and that's a big part of your ministry.
I do volunteer resource director, so I create resources, mm-hmm. collect resources for an organization called Christian Grandparenting Network.
Okay.
And they've got a website, christiangrandparenting.com.
Okay.
But there's a lot of good information on there. Again, it's Christian Grandparenting Network, so mm-hmm. you would think only grandparents go there, but we have a lot of things for family.
Yeah.
Intergenerational to try to get out the importance of we're not all in our own little silos doing right. our own little thing. God calls us to work together.
Yeah, and they have a Facebook page, right? That's pretty.
They do have a Facebook. And, yes.
Okay, so yeah, Facebook so go check page. Them out there. Yeah, and, yeah, be good.
Good call. I'd forgotten about that one, and that is very active. That's where to find most things.
Well, it's grandparenting, so I didn't figure a Snapchat. So
no, Facebook is for the old people now, I hear.
Yeah, well, that's where I'm at, too. So. Okay. All right, well, thanks for joining us.